I've always found today's gospel reading to be pretty interesting, especially in more recent years, as I've read it more closely, as I've prepared sermons on it. Because initially, I think in reading it, it always seemed pretty straightforward to me, right? You have, you know, it just seems like it kind of lines up, right? You have God, the landowner, who builds this great vineyard and prepares everything that it needs. He sets tenants like us, right, over that vineyard and expects and has a contract and expects kind of his portion of the harvest when the time comes. And then when the time comes, we reject and break that contract and do great harm to everyone God sends to us. And then ultimately he thinks, I'll send my son. That way they'll know that I'm serious, they'll know that this is important, and they'll respect him. And what do? But we crucify him. And then Jesus asks, what will he do when he comes back, when he returns from this far-off country? And they respond, he will put those wretches to a miserable death. That seems to make logical sense to me as I understand things in this world, right? You have a contract. And I think it reads so in line with the story of creation and of us being placed as stewards over creation and our rebellion and our sin and Christ coming to set things right and us rejecting him. It all seems to line up, and yet when I read it, you're kind of haunted by the, and he will put those wretches to a miserable death. You see, the thing is, I don't think that's exactly how this passage is supposed to be read. It's how I read it for a long time. And it played into my sense of Christianity, which at the time was pretty moralistic, right? I had this kind of sense that God has given us a bunch of rules and things that we're supposed to do. He's given us boundaries. And they're good boundaries, right? And the reason we play in those boundaries or try to is because that's the way we were created to be, and it's safer that way. And when we venture out, we get hurt or we hurt others, and so we should kind of stay in bounds. And much of my energy as a Christian and as a person was spent in trying to stay in bounds. I don't know if you've experienced anything like that in your life as a Christian or as a churchgoer. I definitely know there's a lot of people who stand in this place and talk about all the things you need to do to be a good Christian. The way in which we uphold this contract that was made between God and us. See, the trouble that I've run into is realizing that I don't have the power to do it all right. And I think that's what Paul was getting at when he's writing in Philippians. Right? Did you hear that beginning part of Paul's letter, or of the reading from Paul's letter, where he says, you know, as far as the law was concerned, I was blameless. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a Hebrew born of Hebrews. I did all the right things as a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee, and I was zealous for the Lord to the point of persecuting the church. And as to the law, I was blameless. It is certainly possible to take the law of God and to create rules out of it that we can live by. The trouble is when you look at the Ten Commandments, right, the reading from Exodus that we started with, when you look at the teachings of Jesus, like the Sermon on the Mount and his other things, you start to realize that the law of God is a little bit bigger than we sometimes appreciate it to be. It's something a little more difficult to follow than simply laying out a bunch of rules for us and doing it. Because if you recall Jesus summing up the law, what does he say? He says, love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. And while that seems really simple, I don't know about you, but I have been pretty abysmal at times in living up to that expectation. And the trouble is the law shows no mercy, right? The law says do this or there's consequences. The law says do this because this is the right way to do, and if you don't do it, what is God going to do when he comes back? We echo that line from the gospel. You see, but the thing is, what I realized when reading this in more recent years is that it's Jesus asking the question, what do you think the landowner will do when he comes back? And it's the Pharisees and the people listening, right, to the parable. They're the ones who say, He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. And then Jesus responds, look at his response. Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. The parable isn't about teaching us to not be bad stewards and to be good stewards so that we follow the law and give God his due when he comes. The parable is about reminding us that even though we rejected Jesus, God's only son, when he came to us, even though we rejected God's prophets and we've broken the law and we have not always loved the way we are called to love, in the midst of that, in the remains of that, God brings resurrection and new life and builds his church, builds his kingdom on the cornerstone that is the person of Jesus. Out of the brokenness, out of our rebellion, God brings new life and hope and redemption. If we're living in a world where we think we're doing all the right things so that God will be happy with us, I think that's the mindset that Jesus is saying, you're not getting it. And it'll be taken away from you and given to someone else, because the kingdom of God is for you and for me. It has been given as a free gift by our God, who loves us unconditionally and completely and fully. There is nothing you can do or not do that will cause God to stop loving you, to stop forgiving you, to walk away from you. Are there consequences to our actions in this world? Absolutely. Do we have to take responsibility for the things that we do, the ways we don't love God, the ways we don't love others and ourselves? Absolutely. Each and every one of us knows the scars and the pain of that reality. None of us escape it. The message of the gospel isn't, well, get your act together before God comes back. The message of the gospel is, in the midst of that, there is forgiveness and redemption. That very stone that you rejected, that very message of God's Son that you rejected, on that foundation, I will build a new world and a new kingdom. A place where you will be welcomed, where you will be at home, and where you will find peace, and where every tear will be wiped from your eye. You see, the trouble with focusing too much on the law, and don't get me wrong, the law is important, the Ten Commandments, the expectation of the covenant between God and us, that is an important thing. I don't say any of this to say that it doesn't matter, because it absolutely does. The law is what helps us to recognize our need of grace, our need for God's love, our need to take stock of our own lives, to accept the parts of us that don't live up, and to find peace and forgiveness and new life in those places. Because we're never going to be able to live into the call God has for us. We're never going to be able to grow into the people that God desires us to be without looking at ourselves honestly, without letting the law convict us, and then letting God's grace set us free. But there's tremendous danger in relying on the law and our expectation of living up to the law to make things right. Because the thing is, the law doesn't give anyone the power to do it, right? God giving us the Ten Commandments does not give us the power to follow those Ten Commandments. God saying, love your neighbor, love yourself, and love God does not give us the power to do those things. At least in my experience, that's been the case. Paul talks about it too. He says, even though all the things that I want to do, that's not what I do. It's the things I don't want to do. That's what I keep on doing, Paul says. We struggle. And in my experience, I find it impossible to live up to the law as I think Jesus has laid it out for us. And I spent a lot of my life trying to discipline myself, trying to do all the right things, trying to read the Bible more and pray more, ask for forgiveness more. I tried so hard to to be the person I thought God wanted me to be. To be the good tenant, so that when God came back, he would look at me, see what I had done, and say, good job, my good and faithful servant. Well done. I exhausted myself, and in the end, I found that I had made a mess of things far greater than I ever imagined I could have. At the time, I was in seminary. I was training to be a priest. I had all the answers. I mean, why even go to seminary, right? I've got it all figured out already. I mean, I guess they just want me to do this thing. I mean, the Bible's right here. It tells you what to think. It tells you what to believe. Just read it, inwardly digest it, and then regurgitate it to everyone else and expect them to learn it the way you learned it, and everything will be fine. Right? If you guys just believed everything I believed, this would be so much easier. And the trouble is it led me to being angry, to being frustrated. I could do all these things. Why can't these people around me do it? Do they not care enough? Why don't they spend as much time as me praying and reading the scriptures and doing all these things? The law has this power to convict us, but if we rely on the law, it grinds us down. At least that's been my experience. And there's this crazy thing that happens, and I think this is what Paul is talking about in Philippians when he says, you know, I cast all that aside, all that law and stuff like that, and like my living up to the law, I cast aside because I want a righteousness from God that is based on faith. I want to know the Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. To the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. What I think this whole thing is about, and what you hear from me week in and week out, and will continue to hear from me, is that this thing we do is not about living up to these expectations or these laws, as I've mentioned earlier, but it's about looking at ourselves, finding amidst all the mess that goes on in our hearts and in our lives and in our relationships, finding that heavenly call. Who is God calling us to be? Where is God calling us to go? Both collectively as the people of God that make up the kingdom of God, but as individuals too. Because we need, and my hope is, we will every day learn more and more how to be who God has created and called us to be. Because you have something to offer this world. And if you let me tell you who to be, this world will be robbed of your gifts and your grace. It will be robbed of your love. I can't tell you who to be. I can point you to the cross, I can point you to the light, I can feed you from this table of the bread and the wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then I can say, go. Go into the world and live your life, trusting in the power of God's grace and love for you. That it's not by following the law that makes you righteous, it's by the righteousness given to you as a free gift of God. That in that awareness, in that knowledge of God's love and grace, in that space of forgiveness, that is the seat of our power to transform this world and to transform our lives. It comes as an outpouring of God's grace and love for us, not as an instruction from the law. So as you are going, may the world see who you are and who you were created to be. And in all the ways you and I mess that up, may we find forgiveness and seek reconciliation in those places. May our work be used for the building up of this world, for the healing of brokenness and division, and for unity and love. And I think we can all agree there is little that this world needs more of right now. Wherever you live, whatever your political leanings, whoever you voted for, however you see how things ought to be or ought not to be, whatever tradition you grew up with, whatever faith you have, just know that God's call to you and to me is in the healing of reconciliation and new life that is born of the love that is given to you in our God. But the prize we chase after is that heavenly call in Christ Jesus. And it's not that we've already obtained it, but we press on and we live our lives together seeking after the good things that God has given us and letting that change and transform this world. Amen.